Exodus chapter 20,
verses 1 through 17. If you're using a Pew Bible, you'll find this on pages 100 and 101. 100 and 101. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Very familiar passage, of course, the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, reading verses 1 through 17. This is the Word of God. Let us pay reverent attention to it. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we come to a dividing line, if you will, between the commandments we've been looking at previously, the first four, which deal directly with our relationship with God. And now, starting in commandment number five, we're now dealing more with those commands that have to do with our relationship with our neighbor. And we see here, as we look at the fifth commandment, which is Exodus 20, verse 12, that the fifth commandment requires inferiors, notice the word, requires inferiors to show respect, obedience, and compassion toward their superiors. So the fifth commandment requires inferiors to show respect, obedience, and compassion toward their superiors. Now, as we've looked at this series on the law of God, you may remember some months ago we talked about the threefold purpose of the law, and I used the initials DDT. That is to say, it demonstrates that we are sinners. The law drives us either further into our sin, to our sin, or to Christ, and it teaches us how we ought to live, DDT. The law is both positive and negative. There are things that are commanded for us to do. There are things that are prohibited to us, that are forbidden. And as I mentioned a moment ago, there is this division between the first four and the last six of the commandments. Now, the fifth commandment, then, deals with all forms of authority. Of course, it's couched here in terms of our parents. Honor your father and your mother. But it deals with all kinds of authority, not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts. all superiors in age and gifts. That is to say, all those who have authority over us. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father." Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. We see this also in Genesis chapter 4. This principle in Genesis chapter 4, you remember the great creation mandate, the cultural mandate that was given to man to develop creation. And we read in Genesis 4, 20 through 22, "And Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain in the structure of every craftsman in bronze and iron," and so forth. So we see the use of the word father to refer to those who, well, in this case, were the progenitors, if you will, of those who dwell in tents and have livestock, those who are, we would say, in agribusiness today, or agricultural pursuits, and Jubal, the one who's the father of musical instruments. So you see, if you play the guitar, or some other instrument, you can look back and thank Jubal. Now, we also see that this, when we talk about all superior in age and gifts, we also refer to all places of authority. Obviously, this refers to family, so the great spheres of family, church, and state. It refers to family, but it also refers then to the church. It refers to the church. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 12. Remember the children, you remember the chariots of fire? Remember that? When Elijah was taken up to heaven and Elisha saw it, 2 Kings 2 verse 12. So Elisha saw it and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. So that's interesting, isn't it? That this idea of father applies to those who are leaders in the church. Chapter 13 of 2 Kings, verse 14. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him, wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And we also see this, and there are other places where we could see this, but we also see this in Galatians 4, verse 19. In Galatians 4 and verse 19, Galatians 4, verse 19, where Paul says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." As a matter of fact, I mentioned earlier about church courts. It is customary when you address a church court that you say, "Fathers and brethren." Fathers meaning those that are older. I'm now one of the fathers, apparently. I've got enough gray hair. I haven't always thought of myself like that. But nevertheless, I apparently have graduated to that status now. But fathers and brethren, fathers and brethren. So family, church, state, but also in terms of state then, Isaiah 49, verse 23, "Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed to wait for me." And so this concept then of the civil magistrate being, as it were, especially a monarch, being as a father. Now, why then are the terms father and mother used? Well, first of all, to teach superiors to love and be tender toward inferiors. To teach superiors, those that are in authority, to love and be tender towards those that are under their authority. This, of course, is what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, like as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So, affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. And in verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So first of all, this is an instruction, if you will, to superiors not to exercise authority in such a way as in a tyrannical fashion, but rather to love and to be tender to those that are under their authority. But also to help inferiors to acknowledge the nature of their duty toward superiors. To help inferiors to acknowledge the nature of their duty toward superiors. To provoke a greater willingness and cheerfulness in performing their duties. A greater willingness and cheerfulness in performing their duties. We see this also in, for example, in Ephesians 6, verse 4, which in that context, Paul deals with the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, and so forth in verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, what's interesting is we look at commandment number 5, and we saw this with commandment number 4. It is expressed positively. It's expressed in the affirmative. Now, most of the commands we know are expressed in the negative. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not murder or kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. But commandment 4 and commandment 5 are the two commandments that are expressed in the affirmative. With regard to the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And here we see, honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say, don't disobey. That's implied, of course, but rather positively, honor your father and your mother. So, what does this mean then, children? And those of us who are a little bit older than children, perhaps. What does this mean? Well, it means that we are to show respect, obedience, and compassion toward those who are over us. We are, for example, to show all due reverence. And this is to be from our very heart. We're to show all due reverence from the very being of who we are. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? And so we see then that from the very heart, there is to be this honor that is given. also in word. In word, we're to show due reverence in word. 1 Peter 3, verse 6. 1 Peter 3, verse 6, where we read, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So in heart, in word, and then, of course, also in behavior. And so all due reverence. Secondly, in terms of respect, we are to offer prayer and thanksgiving for them. We're to offer prayer and thanksgiving for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And so prayer and thanksgiving for them as part of the respect that we are to show. But also imitation of their virtues and graces. Imitation of their virtues and graces. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, we read, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So Paul is saying, imitate me. We're to imitate God, we're to imitate Christ, but also those faithful servants who are over us, who are giving us a good pattern, we are to imitate them as well. We read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Remember those, the writer to Hebrews says, who rule over you. Remember them. And so we're to imitate their virtues and their graces. This is all part of the respect that we pay to those that are above us. But then secondly, obedience. Secondly, obedience. And since we're here in Hebrews chapter 13, let's read verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now let's be very clear, this does not mean that there should be any tyranny. There should not be any tyranny expressed by those that are in authority. This is one of the things that we are seeing with regard to cases that may be coming to synod this year. Rules that are, or rulings that are not appropriate. But when he says here, obey those who rule over you, when he says there, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, of course he is referring to the fact of when they are doing that which is proper. And so willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels. We see this a number of other places in Scripture, Ephesians 6, including with regard to masters and servants or slaves. We see this in 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14. We see it in Romans 13, 1 through 5, where Paul says very clearly, to obey those who are in authority. Obey the civil government, the powers that be, and other places as well. So willing obedience to their, notice what I said, I didn't say all commands, but lawful commands and counsels. Due submission then to their corrections. Due submission to their corrections. Hebrews 12, verse 9, We have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So do submission to their corrections. Well, not only are we to show respect and obedience, but we are also to show compassion. Compassion. We are to have fidelity or loyalty to those who are above us. We're to regard them as our fathers. Indeed, we are to defend and maintain their persons and authority. And we're to maintain them in terms of their persons and authority. In Romans chapter 13, verses 6 and 7, it talks about basically paying taxes. And so we are to show faithfulness to them, but also kindness. We're to bear with their infirmities and covering them in love. We're to bear with their infirmities and cover them in love, thus being an honor to them and their government. An honor to them and their government. One of the striking examples of this that we have in Scripture is found back in Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, remember where Noah got drunk? Remember that? And what did two of the sons do? Noah's sons Shem and Japheth, 9 verse 23 of Genesis. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. And so faithfulness and kindness as manifestations of compassion. Now, let me make a brief observation, then two quick points of application. Number one, in terms of an observation, this is the first commandment with a promise. So there is a promised blessing, long life upon the earth and prosperity. But children, let us be clear, this is not an absolute guarantee. That blessing is only so long as it shall serve for God's glory and our good. But nevertheless, it is interesting that it is the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, two points of application, and the first is this. Thank God for providing authority for us. Thank God for providing authority for us. We don't always like it, but we still must appreciate it. Can you imagine what life would be like without authority? Whether you look at the government, Atlanta is a mess, but at least there is a certain order to it, right? And so it is better to have authority than not to have authority or to have anarchy. So thank God for providing authority for us. And number two, consider Christ in his submission to authority. Consider Christ in his submission to authority. He was subject to his Father. Not that Jesus was inferior in terms of his being, but in God's actions, Jesus was subject to his Father's will. He was subject to his Father. He was subject to church authorities. He was subject to human parents, as we read today from the end of Luke chapter 2, in which he was submissive to his human parents. And in being subject, Jesus was doing two things. He was showing us an example of how to act with respect, obedience, and compassion. But more than that, he was fulfilling all righteousness for all of our rebellion against authority. That is the only hope we have. All of us have sinned. All of us have broken the law of God, including this commandment. And our only hope is the blood and the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Will you please stand for prayer? And Father, we pray that thy word would penetrate deeply to us. We pray, Lord, that it would bring forth abundant fruit in our lives and the lives of all who will hear this message. And so we pray, Lord, that we would be submissive to the authority that thou hast established in this world. And we do pray for those that are in authority, our civil leaders, our church leaders, and also, Lord, our family members. And so, Father, we pray that thou wouldst be pleased to accomplish all those things. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.